1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read the first two verses of that chapter and draw a brief, fairly straightforward thought from it this evening. We won't carry this out to the end of this long sentence, but read a fraction of it where it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, grateful that we are your children, grateful for the new creation that has been put in us, Lord, that new man that we have partaken of, that we can know, Father, right from wrong, good from evil, godly from ungodly. Thank you, Father, for that presence within us and the Spirit that guides us to know these things. Help us to submit our consciences to you, Father, that we would be accurate in our discernment and wise as we move forward in judgment of all things, Father, that you bring before us in this life. Bless us as we consider your word tonight. Be glorified, be honored, and be loved by your people tonight, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for generations, I think it's fair to say, for generations, pastors and preachers have warned God's people of the future, the dangers that are involved in the future. You'll see some people that I wouldn't call pastors or preachers that warn of the future, sometimes a little bit, well, dare I say, insanely so. The end is coming, and beware, and all of these things. And I don't deny that the end of things as we know them is in the future to come, but sometimes we can get a little bit carried away with it. But as we look at the Bible, as we look at Scripture, as we consider what the Lord has presented to us, we do know that the future holds danger, the future holds apostasy to come, the future holds carnal things to come, the future holds the coming of the Lord as a result of all of those things, and the denial of mankind of the Lord ongoing. When such preachers and pastors preach and warn of the future to come and the evils and the wickedness and the apostasy that is to come, it's not with the intent of preventing those things from happening, because the Word tells us it's going to happen. These elements are going to dissolve with a fervent heat. There is going to be an end to things as we know them. It's not to prevent such things from taking place. Read Revelation to see what the Lord is going to do to this world as we know it. What we preach about and what we consider and what you study for yourselves about the future and the warnings of things to come is to prevent God's people from getting caught up in those things. Getting caught up in the apostasy, getting caught up in the dangers and the carnality that are going to characterize those things in the days to come. And so we charge people today, exhort God's people today, as Paul encouraged Timothy to warn his flock back in the first century, as he did in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. He warned of them, well, sustaining a specific injury there in regards to days to come. Those ones having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I put a nice little hot bed of embers there for you just to really drive home what this is talking about. Having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Very specific thought tonight regarding this seared conscience. What is it and why is it troublesome for God's people? Well, let's talk about what a seared conscience is. I won't go into depth Friday night regarding what a conscience is, what all it involves, where it all stems from, and just how broadly reaching it is into our lives as God's people and all the things that contribute to it. But just suffice it to say that even in the ungodly, a conscience is something that helps us to discern right from wrong, good from bad. And as a child of God, we have this new creation that I mentioned a moment ago, this new creation within us that gives us a very clear anchor as to right and wrong. Christ in us, the hope of glory, always speaking to us, always leading us, always keeping us centered, the Holy Spirit himself focusing us and directing us and giving us that wisdom we need in order to discern right from wrong. Now, there is that godly understanding. We have this conscience, and I'm glad we have this new creation and the Spirit to give us that wisdom With the fullness of the Spirit comes even a greater understanding, a greater comprehension. And that's another lesson for many other days. But I'm grateful for that presence of that conscience that we have. Paul said this in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. He said, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men, to have this understanding in me, that my elections and decisions and purposes and intentions and the things that carry out those purposes are done, well, choosing right over wrong by the leading of God and by His direction, His empowering." And that's what we should want. That's what we should do, is to have our own consciences clear and without offense toward God and men. That being said, since we have this conscience within us, and since we do still have an old creation with us, this flesh that we carry along with us, our conscience can be injured, and it can be faulty, and it can be, well, not heeded when it does speak correctly, but there can be those things that bump us off, as I use that term kind of often, bump us off the walk of faith, bump us off our path that the Lord would have for us. In this case, in 1 Timothy 4, that conscience can be seared. Now, what is a searing of a conscience? Well, a searing of anything, if you think of it just as it sounds, well, it's almost summertime, or getting where it's warmer at least. Oftentimes we grill, right? Crank that thing to high, get those flames really going, get a really, really hot, hot, hot grill. And you can take a sirloin or a ribeye or a porterhouse or a filet if you so choose or whatever, and you get that grill hot. You don't want a cool grill. You don't want a medium grill. You want a hot grill, and you put it down there. And for me, 2 minutes on a super hot grill on one side, flip it, go 2, maybe 3 minutes on the other side. Medium rare, it's perfect. Seared on both sides. Seared, you see those nice grill marks on it, and it is searing that meat. That doesn't sound like a real comfortable situation for our own flesh or our own body, and it's not comfortable for our conscience either. At least it shouldn't be. Paul used this word, searing, is what is translated here in our Bibles here. But if you look at it, the word in the Greek that Paul used was kautirazo, or kautirazo, something along those lines in the Greek. And that sounds more to me like what it is to cauterize something. It means to take something hot and apply it to something that's bleeding, or apply it to something that's living, and to stop that bleeding by burning that flesh, essentially. Or to leave an imprint, a mark. Cattle brands are a searing, a cauterizing that people do. They have their little shape, they heat up the irons, criminally painful. Stick it on their backsides or wherever they put that brand, and you have cauterized a nice sear upon them. It's a burn wound is what it is. And I'll leave it at that without getting too graphic about it. A seared conscience then, a cauterized conscience then, is a wounded one. A wounded one that has been burned to the point even of unfeeling, not feeling, not sensing. If you touch those wounds, oftentimes you see guys, football players will have their sorority symbol, usually an omega or something like that, a Greek letter, seared into their shoulder. If you touch that, they don't even feel that risen scar there. It's branded in. And that's the point that Paul's trying to make here. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This is verse 1 of our passage, and this is what Paul says causes that seared conscience, at least in part, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That doesn't mean that the occult is getting involved and you have a Ouija board and you have, you know, the sacrificing the chickens and the like. That's not what it's speaking to specifically. Doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits, all that points to are those spirits that would call us to any measure away from the things of God. Doctrines of demons are simply those things that are counter to what God says. Something that would remove our vision. It doesn't have to be big, huge, sweeping, anti-Christian rhetoric. It doesn't have to be that. It can be just simply discouragement. You need to worry. It can be simply that. It can be just the fear tactics that we can read in the news. Those things can be doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. You understand the enemy knows anything. All of the ways that man might be swayed in the flesh, might be deceived, might hear and be bumped off of the things of God, the enemy will use those things. And when God's people give heed to those things, then their conscience, their capability of choosing right from wrong, discerning good from evil, both can be seared. It can be cauterized. It can be deadened. It can be scarred, branded even. Well, I guess you could say when God's people spend more time in the news than in the Word, then that causes a problem. Your conscience can be moved, am I right? When you only see one source of information constantly and continually and over telling you the same message, it can cause you problems. When God's people are more moved by social media than by the Holy Spirit, there's a problem. There's a problem there, plainly. When God's people even bring it back into more spiritual things, more acceptable things, when God's people read more books about the Bible than they read the Bible, there's going to be a problem. And your conscience can be indeed seared. It can be shifted, changed, impacted. Our sense of right and wrong, just and unjust, godly and ungodly, can be damaged by those things that are teaching us and swaying us without our ever even realizing it, even to the point of unfeeling. Paul talks about those who, being past feeling, in Ephesians 4:19. Past feeling, that word literally, past feeling is one word, means without feeling pain. Those things, that those ones who being numb to one's conscience, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, and so on and so forth. No longer having their hearts or their consciences stung by what they knew to be ungodly. He goes on and says, but you have not so learned Christ. This is not what you know to be so. This is not that foundational doctrine that you understand. This is not the Word that is Jesus, that has put himself within you so that you might know godly from ungodly. You've not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Saints, sin should sting a bit. When I say a bit, sin, it should cause us great discomfort at times. The thought of sin should cause us great discomfort. Our thoughts aligning with the world's ungodly ones, that should make us sick. And I mean even physically. It should bring a certain measure of nausea to us to even consider that we might align ourselves up with the ungodly perspectives and viewpoints that the world would feed to us. Our proneness to wander, there's that song that we sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That proneness that we have, just the thought and the capability, let alone the tendency that we have of leaving God and God's things, leaving what he would have for us, that should ache our hearts, saints. It should. And that's not just sentimentality speaking. It should ache us to consider causing the Lord any pain. It's the purpose of our conscience to move us away from what is ungodly towards the things that are godly and to keep us there. So be mindful of your conscience. Be mindful of what's impacting your conscience. Be mindful of what might shift or sway. Be mindful of what might be teaching you without you being real, without you realizing it. What you might be learning just by what's coming in. What's coming in one ear and maybe not going out the other ear. Just by habit, I'm going like this because I've told my kids that for many, many years. What I'm telling you is going in and out the other. I wish that certain things that we pick up would go in one ear and out the other, but sometimes it goes in the ear and it just stays there. Be careful what you're, well, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Ask the Lord, am I calloused? Am I unfeeling? Am I injured in my conscience? Even go so far as to say, has my conscience been branded by the enemy? Has he laid a claim on me saying, that's the way I want you to think? Saints, go to the Lord. And if he shows you that you have been branded, he will heal that branding for you. He'll take your conscience and move it from being that direction. Bring back your understanding of right and wrong. Bring back your understanding of godly and ungodly. And bring it back in line with him. Because we have a high priest, that one having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You have learned Christ. You've heard Christ. You've been taught by Christ. Know that the truth is in Jesus and remain there. And he will keep your conscience pure.